Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSR HealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Hi, everybody. Carl Walsh here, Saving Seniors. And through popular demand, I have a guest coming back with us named Ante Perkoff, who deals with seniors himself. Ante, are you there?
I'm here, Carl. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. So great to have you back. You know, I thought of you about your latest newsletter, Legacy Wire, and maybe we could go through it. You know, I like your newsletters. You know, it makes you really puts you apart from everybody else who's telling you how to bake cookies and, you know, whatever else they do, how to groom your dog, or, you know, they just want to put their names in front of you so you keep thinking of them. Yours actually has a lot of meat to it, so. It says, Legacy Wire, Strong Families, Secure Futures by Ante Perkoff, When a Gift Feels Like a Test, The Hidden Weight of Inheritance. I love that. Yeah, because I've seen it firsthand in dealing with, hopefully none of my brothers or sisters are listening to this, but, you know, my mother basically died penniless except for her furniture. And even that went through, people are like putting stickers on it and getting a little, throwing elbows and, like, inheritances make people ugly, brings out the ugly side in all of us. So maybe you could hit some of the highlights, what you've mentioned in your newsletter, which I find really great.
Yeah. And thanks for your comments. You know, in terms of that newsletter, I mean, there's so many realtors where we live. So, you know, we try to be authentic. I'm not soccer guy. Here's your spring planting flowers, cookies and milk and that sort of thing, like you said. We do try to deliver, you know, value in terms of our marketing to get people engaged. So I appreciate you saying that. It's something we work really hard at here at the office. But to your point, a lot of what we do is try to mitigate those things in terms of inheritance. It is, when I talk to somebody who's got a normal job, a client, like a pick one, school teacher, you know, somebody that doesn't do what you and I do, somebody that doesn't come across this every day. So they've been made the executor, let's say, of a trust, or even if it's in probate, doesn't matter. And they've got a job. They're still living their life. They're grieving a parent or even a grandparent, an aunt, uncle. And then they've got all this stuff, all this kind of infighting. In my experience, it doesn't always escalate to super ugly level. It's usually a real passive-aggressive thing. And a lot of that is, how do we talk about this stuff? It's really hard. And what we try to do is give our clients some tools. We start with data. You know, I know, Sister A thinks the house might be worth $5 million, but it's really worth, you know, and they, I was going to say $1 million, but I don't know what you can buy for $1 million anymore, right?
Yeah.
But especially in the South Bay. But you get my point. We try to start with data, and what we usually find out is all of that money stuff, is wrapped up in emotion, right? And, you know, why did mom make you trustee? Why am I, you know, I'm the oldest. Why am I not trustee? Or, you know, you're not so qualified, blah, blah, blah. And a lot of that comes from that. So we do try to have those conversations with our clients and kind of, not like a professional mediator, but a mediator in the sense of having somebody look at that and give an objective point of view usually helps. Not always.
Yeah.
Usually.
And so do you actually take the kids aside and go through it with them, or so you can find out the dynamic of what's going to happen?
Yeah, Yeah, I mean, our process is usually the first point of contact is going to be the decision maker, right? So we normally talk to the trustee, and during that conversation, it usually becomes clear. We say, okay, who else is involved? Who's a beneficiary of this? And they'll explain those dynamics, and we'll say, you know, during that first conversation, I'll go, I got to ask, everybody on the same page? Other than, you know, I'm sorry for your loss, and we miss mom or we miss grandma. Is everyone on the same page? Yeah, we're fine. Okay, good.
Right.
Do you want everyone there at the meeting? I have one brother and sister. Absolutely no fighting whatsoever. But brother said, I'm the deal doer. Don't talk to my sister. I got this. And he was the one legally in charge. And we
right.
went, okay.
And then when they say that, sometimes you find that the sister has some hidden resentments because her personality isn't to confront, but she's holding on to some resentments and feelings that aren't being expressed.
Yeah, that's
no?
absolutely true. And usually what I try to do on a second pass is say, hey, you know, part of my process is making sure everybody is sort of informed. What are you okay with me saying or doing? And normally, they're okay with like a, you know, I put a group email or something like that.
But are you restricted? Are you restricted? Because let's say three kids are on the inheritance, so therefore they have three equal interests in it. So let's say there's a brother or sister that's the leader of the pack, maybe the trustee of the estate. How do you navigate, you know, I guess, what's the law on that? You're only required to talk to the trustee, or how does this work?
Well, so I'm not a lawyer, but my understanding, and I work with a bunch of lawyers, estate attorneys all the time. But my understanding is, you know, that the seller is basically the representative of the seller. The seller's the trust. So even though everyone's a beneficiary, whoever's legally in charge is the point of contact.
So that's the trustee in that case. So
if it,
yeah.
Trustee or the executor.
Or executor, sorry, yeah.
Yeah. Normally, I have a pretty good conversation. Most of my clients haven't done this before, right? So, you don't go around inheriting multiple properties. So normally I have a conversation to say, look, if there's a squabble, if there's a problem, you're the decision maker. But to avoid a problem, it's best if you let me run interference. You let me kind of inform everybody, and that's what I do. Try to get buy-in from everybody, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, most of the time it'll sort itself out. If it's so contentious where somebody really doesn't want the other, you know, another party to something, and we have had that in the past where sometimes you've got an exemption trust where you've got, step brothers and sisters involved and there's no love lost between them, usually you find out who everyone's attorney is. Try to cover yourself that way. But fortunately in my business, normally it's happy endings. That's kind of the value add that we bring to it, is try to keep everybody happy, try to keep families together, and then try to give some help where we can moving forward a lot of people, they're just living their normal lives, and all of a sudden they're inheriting a $2 million house, and maybe you get $1 million, $2 million. It's almost
right.
a windfall. You didn't plan for it.
Right.
So, hey, do you have a financial advisor?
What about when you run into, I'm sorry to interrupt, hopefully I'm not hurting your train of thought, but because I've seen it all too, you know, on the mortgage side of things, and sometimes
sure.
there's that one person, especially in reverse mortgages that I'm doing, that I make sure if someone's doing a reverse, this is off the topic of what you do, but I make sure all the family's involved as much as, I've had a parent say, I have one son, I don't want him involved, and so that's that, I take her word on it. But if, let's say, there's a bunch of kids, I want all the kids involved. Because sometimes there's one caretaker among the three, let's say if we use three kids, and there's a little resentment there to, I'm taking care of mom, and yet I want to live in the house, but they want their cut. So, you know, then we get it, but I can't qualify for a loan, and da 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 da. So, this sometimes gets sticky.
If we unpack that, two things I would say. When I'm dealing, I don't only do, you know, after the fact with inheritance. I also do a lot of people that are downsizing, a lot of older folks. Some of them, you know, where we paid off a reverse mortgage. Somebody goes into a different, you know, either assisted living or they move in with an adult child, things like that.
Sure.
And when I talk to my older clients, I always want their children involved, and I tell them, and even when I get that pushback, because we all want agency over our lives, right? We all want to be able to make our own decisions, and I don't care if, you know, I've got an 18-year-old son. He's telling me he knows what's best for him, and if you're 80, you're going to say the same thing. You know what's best for you. But I try to explain to them, having your children here makes it better when you're gone, because they were there, and they know the decision, and they're not fighting with each other. And that's usually what I say, and it's the same thing in your business. And if you could get buy-in on that, where all of these kind of things that come up can be addressed while we're all still in the same room, to me, that's a help. Those are helpful conversations.
Yes. So planning,
yeah, but
you're really pushing planning. But you want to touch on what? Sorry.
I wanted to touch on what you said about the three, the example of three siblings. I could tell you, and I come from three, I have two sisters as well, so they, I don't know if they're going to agree with this or not, but anytime I've had three siblings, there's almost always one caretaker, somebody who spends the most time with mom or dad. There's often, you know, there's one that's, sometimes they're out of state, sometimes they're busy. You know what I mean? They're not around. And then there's one that just wants to get everything done, wants to handle the legal stuff, the financial stuff, and all of that. And it's three real distinct. when you have three, it's tough. It gets really tough to navigate the personalities.
I ran across it, and it's different every time. It's not as if we can put things in a box. I mean, I did a reverse mortgage very recently. Where there was a woman, a 100-year-old woman, but she has two kids. The son was sort of a control freak, wanted to control everything, and he wanted all the money going through him. And the sister was sort of afraid of him, but what made it worse is he's sort of incompetent, and yet he lived across the country, so he never really saw his mother. He hadn't seen her in 3 years or something. So you had that's probably one of the worst situations I've ever had, and I can't even articulate. There's so many things that went sideways. You know, an argumentative son who was getting in the way, yet he's the one who called me in at the same time. So, gosh, these things can really turn into difficult situations. But I guess we just sort of navigate through it the best we can and try to keep the heirs or the siblings with their eye on the target. The target is we need to get through this. You know, in your case, we need to, you want to sell the house, we need to sell it. And there's assets, and you just sort of plug and chug, and things erupt along the way, and you just try to bring them back on track.
I think that's 100% right. And one of the things when it does come up and you hit that turbulence that you're describing is, you know, sometimes you got to bring it back to two things. One is, you know, hey, what are we doing here? Whose house was this, and is this what they'd want? They want you guys at each other's throats.
Uh-huh.
And the other thing is, eyes on the prize, right? Eyes on the prize. If you tell me you want the most money, or you tell me you want a reverse mortgage because mom needs that comfort, mom needs the extra, you know, whatever it is, money in her life, she needs money for care, whatever it is, what are we arguing about, you know, what day do we get the garage cleaned out?
Uh-huh. Right.
You know, so I think that's, you and I have similar roles, right? We try to bring back on target.
right.
And keep everybody marching towards the same goal. I think a lot of times, fortunately in my experience, at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, people feel a lot better than maybe going through the process. And sometimes, you know, sadly, when you're talking about inheritance, it kind of depends how, you know, what age somebody was when we lost them, and how that illness went. And sometimes they just haven't had time to actually talk because it's all new. A lot of my clients are well off, right? Their parents have done well. But sometimes you get a call and you're like, I need to sell this house now. This is a burden. And that's when the emotions get hot.
Yes. Yes. And then they are, how do you deal with value? I mean, you're the disinterested third party. And what I mean by disinterested, that doesn't mean uninterested. You're the objective viewer and saying, well, you think your house is worth $2 million, you heard, because your neighbor told you. But in reality, given this is a three-bedroom, two-bath, and the $2 million one was like an eight-bedroom, three-bath, you know, your house is really only worth $1.4 million. Or, you know, or let's say you're shy $300,000. I guess you have to sit them down and show the comps. And I think there's always that everybody thinks their house is worth more than it is. That's just how the deal works. You probably do. I do. You know, we all think our house is worth more than it is. How do you navigate through that?
Well, I mean, so to me, the data goes a long way. Kind of speaks for itself. It's one thing to say in the abstract, but you're right. When you sit down and you look at the data, you say, this is the exact same house. We live in a largely suburban area, right? Mm-hmm. Most of the stuff we work on, you can find another, you can find several three-bedroom, two-bath, three-bedroom, two-bath, right? Mm-hmm. And you take the uniqueness out of it. In our case, a lot of times what we're dealing with is you've got a lot of deferred maintenance.
Yeah.
And we try to find out what that is up front. So sometimes I'll go get a bid, or I'll do a home inspection, a pre-inspection, they call it, right, where let me go find out what's going on here. Because this house hasn't been touched since either all original, or sometimes there was an update in the 90s, right? Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it's pretty gated. So we try to go get that stuff done and say, okay, there's a significant amount of work here. Let's get our expectations in line. Right,
and also how much you're going to fix and get dollar for dollar back, at least, or help it sell, right? Because sometimes you put a dollar in, you're only getting 30 cents back, maybe, or nothing back.
Yeah, I don't normally, and you know, and I think you said it best. Every situation's unique, mm-hmm. right? It's not like there's one box. If there was, we'd be out of business. You'd go on the internet and do this, you wouldn't need us, right?
Right, right.
But I don't normally have my clients do a bunch of work because it's not dollar for dollar. If you have somebody who is comfortable with real estate, they almost want to flip their own, you know, flip the house they're inheriting, right? Yeah. Or they put enough work into it to attract a different type of buyer, a buyer who's looking for something turnkey. Most of the time, what we focus on, where we help, is kind of cleaning stuff up. Sometimes we paint. Sometimes we, you know, might even replace flooring, things like that. And we give advice on that. What the best thing to do? We don't go in and say, you need to do this and you need to do that. We try to find out what they're comfortable with. And, you know, I normally manage that process, right? Unless somebody's, like, actually actively living there or super involved, normally they go, okay, Auntie, I need you to do this. So I'll bring guys in that I have already that work for me, worked for me in the past, and we'll get it in great condition, ready for somebody's vision to kind of be applied for a new buyer. The biggest thing when you're talking inherited homes, especially these older kind of homes that need some help, is we try to get them to avoid getting picked up by, an investor, a flipper. There are good investors out there. There are good flippers, and I'm not disparaging the entire, you know, group of them. But a lot of times they talk to either older people or they talk to, you know, these families who might be grieving or they might have financial pressures. And they go, hey, just give us the keys. We can close in 5 days. And that might be the best.
I could see, you know, I saw that happen recently, and a friend of mine tried to intervene because it was a friend of his from high school, and he said,
sure.
Hey, you're selling this for $200,000 less than it's worth. And she goes, yeah, but they can close in 2 weeks, and they don't want me to make any improvements. And, you know, so the ease of it sometimes is the appeal, even though you're losing hundreds of thousands of dollars. They wouldn't buy it to flip if you weren't coming up short by something. It's just the nature of it. Like, do you want easy? Do you want the most money? Sometimes it's a business transaction. They're not necessarily ripping you off. They're just saying, to me, this is worth $1.5 million when it should be selling for $1.7 million. I'm using these numbers.
I think that's true, and I think where I kind of take issue with them on behalf of my clients or my future clients is we would have to disclose, right? You have to disclose how much money you're making. You have to disclose how much your lender's charging. I have to disclose my commission.
Mm-hmm.
Buyer's agent have to disclose. If you're a flipper, you come in, there's no disclosure. Nobody's telling people,
right,
that, you know, a lot of clients that have called me said, well, I might only be, you know, after all your commissions, we're leaving pennies on the table. You know, it's not very much. And when I sit down, especially, you know, where I work in Palos Verdes, I go, well, it's $200,000.
Right.
You know, after commissions and everything. That's a significant amount of money. Mm-hmm. I just had one where it was the exact same thing, you know. So that's the kind of advice. And you don't know. Sometimes it might be a hot market for an investor, and maybe they're better off not going through the rigmarole. But it just really depends on, you know, how you're going to, what you want. And that's why these conversations are important. And it's important to have a team. You don't have to take my word for it. Talk to everybody. You probably got an estate lawyer. If not, we always try to, you know, refer somebody to someone because we're not lawyers. But you got financial advisors who may not be real estate people. But
yeah.
Yeah. For sure.
Perfect. So, you know, it's so many. That's really why, you know, a lot of people can just pass the real estate exam, but maybe, you know, it's experience and where their head's in the game, whether they
right.
just see, well, wait a minute, per the commission's percentage, if I sell $1 million property, I'm going to make this, and that's, you know, they're just doing the math ahead of time instead of the work. I mean, you guys work 7 days a week, and you'll take calls on a Sunday night and so, you know, I'd like to do. We're gonna go on a break here. And would you come back and let us? I want to go through your street cred and what makes you especially special above the others, which
okay.
is why I have you on for a second time.
You got it.
Okay,
Ante. Thank you.
We're gonna break for a minute. I'm Carl Walsh, Saving Seniors with Ante Perkoff, and we'll be back.
For all your live or pre-recorded webcasting needs, come to earthchannel.com. Get your web-based message out to a select group or the whole world. It's easy. A pioneer in webcasting, earthchannel.com provides the best products and services to big corporations and government users. And now, this same technology is available to you. They have the best Earthcast encoders, servers, and products to meet your technical needs. But wait, don't want to mess with technical stress? No problem. They'll do it for you. EarthChannel.com is your answer. You can use webcasting for lots of things like advertising, marketing, customer support, training, and don't forget, web radio and TV. In fact, you're listening to a live Earthcast right now. So come to EarthChannel.com. Actualize your audio or video webcasting needs today. You can't beat the friendly service or the price. Call earthchannel.com at 1-800-849-8978. That's 1-800-849-8978.
The 1,200,000 women and men of Rotary have accomplished extraordinary things. They've taught millions of people to read, worked toward world peace, and have nearly eradicated a crippling childhood disease from the face of the planet. But each of those 1,200,000 women and men know they could accomplish so much more if only they were 1,200,000 and one. Find out what an impact one person can make. Learn about Rotary at Rotary.org.
Shh! Over here. Here's a secret for a virus-free computer. ESET. They've been a pioneer in the antivirus industry for over 25 years. 25 years of innovative, top-rated antivirus protection. ESET's award-winning security solutions provide a safe online experience for over 100 million home and business computer owners. They are so affordable, fast, and simple to use. So be gone, you blue screen of death. ESET's on my computer. If it's not on yours, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on ESET now.
Where positive people and radio unite. HealthyLife.net.
Hi, everybody. Carl Walsh, Saving Seniors, and I'm back with Ante Perkoff talking about, you know, the inheritance and the myth of being grateful, the myth of being a grateful heir. And, you know, I want to hit some of your articles, but I want to give part of your highlights in your article, but I wanted to go back to your experience and what makes you different. Because you've been doing this for a while, and tell us about your background and why you chose this side of it.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. I've like a lot of people in real estate, I've had many jobs in the same industry. But I started out doing what you do. I started out as a mortgage guy. I was a mortgage broker. Had my own firm. Did all that for a long time. And financial crash came, kind of changed some things for me. And I'd always done real estate sales for myself. I'm a real estate investor. I'm a landlord. So I'd always done that type of work, but it was after 09, really in 2010, I started doing this sort of work full-time. And some of the work that led to this specific focus was I'd have families call and say, and it wasn't so much just for real estate sales, it was, what do we do with this? It was more consultation as opposed to come put a sign in the ground and do that and, get it sold and be the guy in the bus stop. It was, can you sit down with us? Can you talk to me and my brother? We've got this commercial property that my dad bought, 100 years ago. We don't know what to do with it. And in my background, I've been a real estate investor. I've been a real estate developer. I'm actually also a real estate, I teach real estate at Cal Poly Pomona. I teach urban planning. So I kind of know a lot about that stuff. And because of that work, where I talk to somebody and say, well, you could sell this to a developer, you could put an apartment building here, you could do this and that. I started working with families, and I just really found like I could add value to that process. You said something earlier that sort of resonated with me about the newsletter having something to say versus here's your spring recipes. And that's no knock on. We all have to market, right? No margin, no mission. We all got to make money. And it's hard. Being a realtor in an area where there's just so many realtors is difficult. For me, I don't feel good about the work if I don't add value. I mean, I love getting paid, just like everybody else. But at the end of it, I want to know that I left that family, I left that situation better than I found it. Did I bring something to the table? Did I do something that, because of my experience and my personality, they might not have got everywhere else? There are certainly better realtors for certain types of properties than I am. But I think this kind of process that we're developing and have developed of kind of keeping these families together, helping them manage by, we've got a huge network. We've got financial advisors. We've got attorneys. And we've got all the maintenance people, and we've got people who specialize in downsizing, long-term moves. We even talk to assisted living people, right? Mm-hmm. So bringing that whole thing together and sort of, being, on our good day, it's like being the conductor, of a symphony.
Yes.
But most days it feels like you're just kind of running a circus, right? it's a little bit crazy. But I think that's the differentiation. Of how to make that work and why I do what I do.
And it's interesting, the fact you've mentioned those various things that you did in the business, respectfully, see me how I only do reverse mortgages now, and I don't deal with purchases and normal mortgages anymore. It struck me how little a real estate agent knew about mortgage financing. So the fact you have a background in that, that's so helpful, because you need to be a little bit of an expert in everything to detect if you're going in the right direction, if someone's helping the transaction or interfering with the transaction. So, and that gets into all those categories you mentioned. So
yeah,
that's a big plus. That puts you at 90% better than everybody else to know mortgage financing, down payments and interest rates and qualifications and the levels of. I remember way back in my past, it was time to close, and the buyer's agent hadn't even checked if they were pre-qualified or if they had, they said, are loan docs ready? They go, oh, I haven't even applied yet. Well, we're closing in a week. So, not to go off on tangents, but you're really you have all these spinning plates, and you need to really know which ones are wobbling and which aren't.
So, yeah, I thank you, by the way. If my confidence needed a boost, I just got one, Carl, so thank you very much. But I think that's true in the sense of in the world we're kind of heading towards, there's going to be more of the people that do what you and I do, which is specialize, as opposed to kind of generalize. It just has to be. There's too much data out there now. There's too many tools. And I really think, you know, a lot of realtors and the mortgage industry went through it before. You know, when it first went, when we first had the Rocket Mortgages of the world come online and, I forget the other ones, you know, Quicken Mortgage and all those different companies. And they predicted the demise of loan officers. But, you know, we need people at the end of the day. But we don't need people to be order takers. We need people to, give guidance, to bring empathy and expertise, and I just don't think you could do that in every situation. Don't get me wrong. I mean, if someone called and said, I need you to go sell this, you know, condo tomorrow, I'm absolutely capable of doing it. But they're probably not calling me, right? They're calling me because they've got questions. They've got stuff. They've got layers of complexity and emotion and all that wrapped together, and it's the same in your business. You know, it's hard to go get a reverse mortgage online. You could probably, I'm sure you can do it, but, you know, you need to be an advisor. And we all, on our side of the ball, I mean, the mortgage people, the real estate people, I think need to take ourselves a little more seriously and align ourselves with the estate people, the planners, the attorneys, the financial advisors, not do their work, but, you know, it's part of a team, and that's what I try to do anyway, and that makes me feel good at the end of the day.
And I like your conductor analogy because that's really, you know, if you can bring together absolute experts to hit different topics, it adds so much more value to you. And the fact you're teaching this, teaching a slice of real estate, as you mentioned, over at a university level is fantastic. So, you know, I'd like to hit the empathy piece that you brought up in your article in our next segment. Can you hang on for a minute or two? And then,
I love talking about this stuff. I'll wait for you.
Okay, great. Hold on. I'm Carl Walsh, Saving Seniors with Ante Perkoff. Hold on.
See straight and save. These days, everyone seems to see things differently. But from your eyes, you can see straight and save. Right now, get glasses online at 70% off at Glasses USA. There's a 100% guarantee, too, on top brand men, women, multifocal, and even prescription sunglasses. Visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Glasses USA, and you will see straight and save.
I'm William Shatner, and this is Jimmy. Animals like Jimmy are often left behind by people fleeing hurricanes, fires, floods, and earthquakes. These abandoned animals cannot survive on their own. If you must evacuate your home, please never leave an animal behind. If you absolutely cannot take your animal with you, never leave him helplessly chained or caged. Many animals die because they cannot escape fires or rising waters. Animals need your help. Thank you.
Call PETA today, 757-622-PETA.
Shh. Over here. Here's a secret for a virus-free computer. ESET. They've been a pioneer in the antivirus industry for over 25 years. 25 years of innovative, top-rated antivirus protection. ESET's award-winning security solutions provide a safe online experience for over 100 million home and business computer owners. They are so affordable, fast, and simple to use. So be gone, you blue screen of death. ESET's on my computer. If it's not on yours, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on ESET now.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Hi, everybody. Carl Walsh here, Saving Seniors, and we're here with Ante Perkoff, a senior specialist in real estate brokerage, as well as other aspects of real estate. But and I always call him here when I find otherwise, I think this would just be all we do is talk, bring Ante on, because these topics are so interesting. And your newsletter, you know, I understand, too. I don't blame anybody. And occasionally, I remember getting a newsletter from some realtor in the mailbox, and it talked about, well, if you're going to sell your house in 1 year, do these things, and sell it in 2 years, do those things, and 5 years, do this thing. And so
Right. It's
not that they're all worthless, and they're not all recipes, but and you do see their face, and it makes an imprint on a cell or two in your brain, and then if they do it for 10 years and you keep getting them, that's sort of the timeline on this, it seems. You know, if I remember there was this young buck who's enthusiastic, and I could see he was really young. He looked like he was virtually a kid, and, you know, he sent stuff every week. Then it was like every 2 weeks. Then it was once a month. And I haven't heard from him for a year now or two. That's the drumbeat. Just say, okay, you're going to do a newsletter? Plan on a decade, I think.
Right. Most people stop anything we do right when it's going to do something for you, right?
Yeah, that's sort of funny. That was brought up to my attention recently. I'm on the board of directors of Financial Planners Association. I'm thinking, yeah, I've had done enough about this. It's been a couple years, and somebody's saying, well, this is when it's kicking in. So I'm still thinking about it. It's work. But anyway.
100%.
So we talked about some of the things like in your newsletter, siblings now fighting over who gets it, the adult child afraid to touch a dime. It's just almost biblical, you know, where if you remember, you know, you gave this father gave his three kids a certain amount of money. One buried it, one spent it, another one's invested it. And, you know, so what did you mean by dealing with the aftermath, the adult child afraid to touch a dime for fear of dishonoring the parents' legacy? I mean, how do you get involved? Recently bereaved spouse, and you know, these bullet points you hit.
Yeah, I mean, there's often a lot of guilt when you're dealing with people, right? Because you're not supposed to feel good. It's money. Money normally makes us feel good. But we've lost somebody. If we're talking strictly about inheritance, somebody died. And it's hard to be celebratory about selling something that should be a good event. And it's hard to separate those emotions. And, hey, if I enjoy this money, if I do anything, am I dishonoring? Am I not being respectful to my mom or my dad or my grandparents or whoever came before me and did this for me? And that happens a lot. I'll give you an example. I sold a house for a family, and there were a lot of emotions attached. There was no fighting, but there were a lot of emotions attached. Let's just leave it at that. So nobody figures out who I'm talking about. And one of the errors was at a party. And another person at the party happened to be a realtor, and the realtor knew about this transaction, and we had done well on this transaction financially. And he says to my client, hey man, high five. That's incredible. You know, this price of this house. And the guy relates his story to me, my client, and says, I kind of almost wanted to hit him. You know, you're high-fiving me? My mom's dead.
Right.
And you're like, you know, and that always kind of sticks with me is that guilt that people feel in having to navigate this, and which is why so many people, I think, are susceptible to things like we talked about in that last segment, things like kind of, let me just sell this house right away. Let me give it to an investor because I don't want to deal with this, et cetera. But that guilt, I think, is a big one. The other one on there, though, is kind of, and this comes up quite a bit, and people wrestle with it. Most of the time, they realize that the move is not to keep the house. Sometimes it is, and that's great. if that's for you, that's awesome. But a lot of times people, the house will sit, and one of the things that's going on now in California for, 3 years now, is now you get reassessed. So even if you inherit your mom's house, your property taxes go up, right? Mm-hmm. So if mom was paying $1,500 a year, $3,000 a year, something, because they bought the house in 1960, now you're paying $20,000 a year just to own an empty house. That's without insurance and maintenance and all this other stuff. But I've had clients that say, you know, I just need some more time. I need some time to sit with this. I need some time to understand it. And I might want to keep it. Because if I don't keep it, where does my family go? Mm-hmm. And there's that anchor that I call it in the work I do. It's like, you know, an anchor could be a good thing where it's, hey, this is my foundation. These are my values. Or it's something that, you know, drags your boat down and makes you sink.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's what I try to tell my clients when we talk about it is, okay, what kind of anchor is this? Because the memories are still going to be there. So trying to have those conversations where you separate the nostalgia from the asset is mm-hmm. good. And at the end of the day, most parents, right, if you're fortunate enough to be the beneficiary of some inheritance, that means your family that passed on, whether it's parents, grandparents, doesn't matter, they did something right financially. And most generationally didn't spend a lot of money, saved a lot of money, right? Most of my clients, when I learn about the people who used to live in the house, oh, this guy was a cop. This guy was a teacher. Uh-huh. This guy, you know what I mean? It uh-huh. wasn't like I'm walking in and they say, oh, this was some tech millionaire. It was just a bunch of normal people who did well, and they did the right things, and that's the conversation we have. I go, well, what would they want you to do? They want you to do the financially responsible thing, and we try to separate those emotions. I don't know if that answered your question.
Yeah, I realize you're part psychologist as well in this job. That's funny. Probably people take offense to it if you say, you know, I have a therapist who I'd like you to talk to. You know, we do financial planners, we do tax planning, CPAs, but do you?
You know, it's in the building I work in, Carl. I've got a therapist in the building, and I've thought about this. It's never happened, but I have thought about it. I go, this would be a special practice for you.
Right.
getting her on my team in terms of all the advisors we bring in. That's not a bad idea.
That's funny. Yeah, it wouldn't be terrible, and you can. Frame it, you know. It's not because someone's psychologically wrong, but you can frame it that, you know, we need to vet through this emotionally too. So I was given it's time for another break, but can you stay with us for one more segment? Because I like.
Thank you for you, man. I appreciate it.
I appreciate it. And we can hit market conditions too, and what's going on in the market. I'm sure people will be interested. Okay, Carl Walsh, Saving Seniors with Ante Perkoff. Hold on tight.
For all your live or pre-recorded webcasting needs, come to earthchannel.com. Get your web-based message out to a select group or the whole world. It's easy. A pioneer in webcasting, earthchannel.com provides the best products and services to big corporations and government users. And now this same technology is available to you. They have the best Earthcast encoders, servers, and products to meet your technical needs. But wait, don't want to mess with technical stress? No problem. They'll do it for you. EarthChannel.com is your answer. You can use webcasting for lots of things like advertising, marketing, customer support, training, and don't forget, web radio and TV. In fact, you're listening to a live Earthcast right now. So come to EarthChannel.com. Actualize your audio or video webcasting needs today. You can't beat the friendly service or the price. Call earthchannel.com at 1-800-849-8978. That's 1-800-849-8978.
Hi, I'm Danica Patrick. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing, but not every child gets to be carefree. 1 in 6 kids in the U.S. are hungry. This breaks my heart, and it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and gives it to families in need. To help, visit feedingamerica.org.
brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
The 1,200,000 women and men of Rotary have accomplished extraordinary things. They've taught millions of people to read, worked toward world peace, and have nearly eradicated a crippling childhood disease from the face of the planet. But each of those 1,200,000 women and men know they could accomplish so much more if only they were 1,200,000 and one. Find out what an impact one person can make. Learn about Rotary at Rotary.org.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Carl Walsh, Saving Seniors with Ante Perkoff. We're excited. We're going to hit the next topic. You know, Ante's telling us how to navigate through selling real estate when there's an inheritance involved and kids and so forth. But now we're sort of curious what everybody is generally always curious about and what's going on with the market out here in the South Bay. I know Florida, the bottom's dropped out. I was just talking to the engineer about it, that I have a friend who told me his brother sells real estate in Florida, and because of, you know, the floods and hurricanes and the insurance has gone way up and the market basically dropped in half for properties under, you know, let's say $4 million or something. So,
yeah, it's a strange market. I feel like realtors always say that anytime they don't understand it. So I'm probably in that group. It is a little bit of a strange market right now, because I would say and I'll get back to your insurance Florida, because we obviously have some big analogies here in with insurance problems in California. Mm. But price. It matters, I think, more than ever. It almost didn't matter 5 years ago. You throw a price out, even if you were too high, you'd find a buyer. If you misprice a house today, it will not find a buyer.
No.
People are just, buyers are fatigued. Buyers have high rates. Buyers have other challenges, like we're going to talk about insurance. And if the house is not priced correctly, it's just a kiss of death right now, and it's more important than ever.
And it sits dead on the market. Part of that is, I call it the dead syndrome. Well, you know, if you miss it, people ignore it from that point forward.
I think that people ignore it. I think you can reinvigorate it with price reductions, aggressive marketing, hiring a good realtor, and if you do come to reality. But I think the lesson is sometimes, if you do misprice it, if you overshoot the market, you're probably gonna reduce the price in a way that as a seller that you probably don't like.
No.
So being accurate in pricing, using all the tools, having a local agent, somebody who actually knows the area, who's works in the area, who works on that type of home. I kind of describe the type of home I work on. If someone calls me to list a $25 million house in Palos Verdes, I'm going to bring somebody else in with me. You know what I mean? I'm going to navigate the people, and I'm going to bring someone in who knows more about that. I'm not going to try to be all things to all people, and I think that's important too. Is who you're working with becomes important as a market turbulence. That being said, houses that are priced correctly for the market, wherever that might be, are still moving.
Mm.
There's still a ton of demand for buyers. They're just not willing to go the extra mile. I think there's like a lack of, I read a book one time, but stickiness.
Yeah.
There's a lack of stickiness in the transaction. So a buyer will go, okay, they'll have some agent persuade them to write an offer, but then they get into an inspection and they go, no, I'm good. Whereas 5 years ago, even 2 years ago, people would overlook anything. So pre-inspection is something we've been steadily adding to our process, and find out exactly what's wrong. Tell the buyer exactly what's wrong. It's kind of counterintuitive, right? We take these beautiful pictures We get drone shots. We do all this great stuff. And then we go, oh, by the way, here's everything wrong with the house before you write me an offer. But for us, it helps the buyer write a fair offer, fair to them, fair to the sellers. And it gets that stickiness. It's like, what are you going to say? You already knew that you were in for a new electrical panel. You already knew that. You didn't, you know, and I think that's the thing. With the rates being where they are and the world and the economy especially just being kind of unsettled right now,
mm-hmm.
you give people a reason, they're going to walk away. So our job is to not, I don't mean not let them, but not give them a reason to walk away.
I agree with you. If you're telling them up front, my mind is racing on that, you know, because you don't want to rub it in their face, say, by the way, there's a, if you were to, you know, there's a crack in the foundation somewhere, which may or may not be relevant, but it's in the garage or something, you know, I guess, how much transparency, I guess if you know it, you have to disclose it anyway, that's the rule.
I say the truth shall set you free, my friend.
Yes.
To me, let's not pretend, right? We put our best face forward. We when we fix these houses up, we paint, we do whatever. These are cosmetic things. But if we're talking about inspection stuff,
right.
There you go. Now you know everything. That will save you as a seller money, in my never humble opinion. That will save them money in the long run because you don't give someone a reason to walk away, or you don't give someone a reason to get into escrow and then say, hey, the inspector noticed these cracks.
Mm-hmm.
We want 50 grand. You
right.
know, things like that. So I think inspections, or at least a visual inspection that an agent can do himself or herself, is helpful. And that leads me to the other big one is insurance, right?
Mm-hmm.
Getting that insurance question kind of handled, right? So right here in Palos Verdes, especially where I am, we've got some wildfire, you know, some high fire zones, they're called. Not necessarily wildfires, but, you know, close enough. And with what we just saw in Altadena and the Palisades, it's top of mind, right?
Yes.
And then down the street from where I'm sitting, what is it, about 4 miles from here, we've got a landslide.
Yeah.
So all of that stuff is stuff we try to mitigate when we meet with the families and say, who's going to insure this thing? Can we get insurance? And if we can, what does it cost? Because that all affects price. You know what I mean? And those are those conversations we start to have early.
Go ahead.
Well,
I was going to say some things have changed, too. Yeah. There's always been the slide area, but last year's rains were excessive and caused that to go worse, and then all of a sudden the slide creeped up the hill, so the top of Rolling Hills is sliding on that side that never slid before. I remember walking up there thinking, wow, look at these views, this is crazy. Oh, so lucky to get in here. Somebody I knew inherited a house. I'm like, boy, this is great. They can see everywhere. However, Edison 2 months later cut off their electricity, and so did the gas company. They're apparently going to get it back, but they've just all of a sudden 1 week, you know, starting Monday, you'll no longer have electricity. So,
I've got clients in those neighborhoods. I just looked at a house over in the Portuguese Bend Club behind the gate there.
Yeah.
That got their utilities shut off. They just shut them back on and just turned it back on, and now it's for sale. So, yeah, and anticipating those. I mean, the slide area, we know where it is, right? But the fire risk, and sometimes we go to a house, and I deal with a lot of older houses, and if they're in disrepair, it's hard for a new buyer to get insurance.
Right.
So we try to deal with that up front. Those are to me the three big ones. But buyers are value conscious now, I think more than ever, whereas before they were kind of frenzied. There's a lot of emotional buying, which drove prices up. Buyers are still out there. We've spent a lot of time, and we don't have time today, but we've spent a lot of time talking about inherited wealth. Mm-hmm. The other side of that is when my clients who are the adult children, the heirs, inherit money, a lot of times they go buy another house.
Yes.
So a lot of buyers are on the receiving end of these legacy gifts. But they're value conscious. That money's coming from a different place.
Yes.
Times are harder now. Times are harder with high rates. So it's got to be priced right, and they got to get something for their money. So
that's perfect. Yeah, that's a great way to end. And Ante, I love having you on. Gosh, you know, it's so the rich value and knowledge you have, and we really appreciate it here. So I'm going to let you go. It's time for us to head out. So thank you, Ante. We appreciate everything. And I'm going to sign off too as well. But thanks, and we hope to have you on again.
All right. Thanks. Anytime, Carl. Great. Appreciate it. Goodbye, everyone.
Hi, Carl Walsh here. I'm going to say goodbye to everybody. Saving Seniors in my reverse mortgage company. If you have a question, 310-612-0124. Thanks so much.
Over here. Here's a secret for a virus-free computer. ESET. They've been a pioneer in the antivirus industry for over 25 years. 25 years of innovative, top-rated antivirus protection. ESET's award-winning security solutions provide a safe online experience for over 100 million home and business computer owners. They are so affordable, fast, and simple to use. So be gone, you blue screen of death. ESET's on my computer. If it's not on yours, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on ESET now.
I'm William Shatner, and this is Jimmy. Animals like Jimmy are often left behind by people fleeing hurricanes, fires, floods, and earthquakes. These abandoned animals cannot survive on their own. If you must evacuate your home, please never leave an animal behind. If you absolutely cannot take your animal with you, never leave him helplessly chained or caged. Many animals die because they cannot escape fires or rising waters. Animals need your help. Thank you.
Call PETA today, 757-622-PETA.
See straight and save. These days, everyone seems to see things differently. But from your eyes, you can see straight and save. Right now, get glasses online at 70% off at Glasses USA. There's a 100% guarantee, too, on top brand men, women, multifocal, and even prescription sunglasses. Visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Glasses USA, and you will see straight and save.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.